Take your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We are going to use our Bibles in the two chapters of Revelation here. And then, a little bit later, we'll turn to one other passage. But we're going to kind of hop, skip, and jump around a little bit in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. So hang in there. There's method to my madness. So listen to me very carefully here. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse number 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want you to notice, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. Notice, is that a small S or capital S? Capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Look down at verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look down in verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give, eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Look at verse number 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now look at chapter 3, verse number 6. Revelation 3, verse number 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And again in verse 22, I'm sorry, I turned too many pages and that just about scared me because there was no verse 22 in that chapter. Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, if you'll listen to me tonight, I think I can help you. Every boy, every girl, every teenager, every mom, every dad, every employee, every husband and wife, this is for you. I'm convinced that most conflict and contention in life is due to people who do not listen well. Doesn't matter what area of life. you got to realize, most people don't listen very well. I'm not going to get on you here. Tammy, I had to get her back. She was needling me by text tonight. I can announce something a dozen times from this pulpit, and it's amazing how many people still don't know what time it is, what day it is, or what it is. Matter of fact, I'm the one doing the announcing, and half the time I got to ask my secretary, when are we doing that again? We don't listen very well. So, see, I wasn't just getting on you, I was getting on me too, all right? Many children and teens get in trouble because they don't listen well. They hear your words and they hear the instruction, but they are not listening. Students hear a teacher, but they don't listen to the teacher. Employees hear their boss, but do they listen to their boss? They doing all right? Husbands hear the wife speak. But do they listen? Never. wives hear the husband speak, but do they listen? Church members hear the preacher preach, but do they listen? I really believe many of our problems in life come because we don't listen well. Now, there's a difference between hearing the words that I say and listening to what I say. Big difference in me hearing what my wife says and me stopping and listening to what my wife says or what my daughter says. Now, we keep wanting to think failure won't happen to us because we can do it a better way. Our government is very good at this. Our government is making the same mistakes that other governments have made that have caused those governments to fail because we think we have a better way because we care more than somebody else cares. Folks, I don't care how much you care, bad financing is bad financing, period. America is $18 trillion in debt. Our current president has taken us in debt, not just total spending, debt spending, more than 43 presidents before him combined in 6 years. When he took over, there was less than $10 trillion debt. There was a little over $9 trillion. And everybody complained about the trillions that the president before him had racked up. And it was wrong then, too, just so you know. But he has spent more than 43 presidents total before him in debt spending. I don't care how much you care, you can't spend like that and survive. All right? So we refuse to believe that because it's us that it'll happen to us. I want you to notice that much in the Bible is mentioned about listening, hearing. We read about, I'm guessing 7-8 verses. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In two chapters, about 7-8 times, I didn't count them, so don't get mad at me if I'm off one or two here. But I do know that multiple times, over and over and over and over and over, God talks about listening and listening to the Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. All right? Now, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside you who is speaking. You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. That still small voice that says, don't do that, and you don't listen. We've all done it, unfortunately. That still small voice that says, go talk to that person. I don't think they'll listen to me, so I'm not going to. We hear what he says, but we don't listen to what he says. Tonight, I want to show you how to listen with the Holy Spirit in all situations. God knows that I believe preachers, Sunday school teachers, soul winners, mamas, daddies, teachers of any kind should be filled with the Holy Spirit as they speak. I believe that. The last thing I do, and I do it multiple times a day, but the last thing I do before I ever walk out here, Brother Stoltz will tell you, the last thing I do before I leave my office is we yield to the Holy Spirit. I have something right here. It says, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Say why? I'm constantly reminding myself because I'm prone to make stupid mistakes and say things I should not say. So it's my job to speak in the Spirit. But I also believe it's our job as Christians who are saved, who has the Holy Spirit in them, listen to this, that we are to listen in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, just because somebody is speaking in the Spirit does not mean you're hearing in the Spirit. And because somebody may not be speaking in the Spirit, you could still hear in the Spirit. We all have physical ears with which to hear. But God gives saved people a spiritual ear to hear the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to use an analogy here, an illustration here that might help you. The Holy Spirit is there to help magnify what we don't naturally hear. It's a little bit like a hearing aid. It's probably the best way to say it. A hearing aid doesn't give you sound that's not there. Unless you put your hand over it and it goes real loud, you know. But a hearing aid only lets you hear an enhanced version of what is already there. Your sense of hearing is dulled. By the way, man's spiritual sense of hearing is dulled by sin. And we need the hearing aid of the Holy Spirit as we listen so we don't miss what God wants us to have. Now, listen to me very carefully. Some people say, well, I'm listening in the Spirit and God showed me. And they got this charismatic, ooky, spooky garbage and they got some kind of gift to get it and they heard what wasn't there. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not tell you what is not there. He reveals to you what you're not naturally hearing with your hearing that is tainted by sin. Did you catch that? Okay. The Holy Spirit is there to magnify what is, but we need His help to hear it. Now, foundation's laid. Here we go. I think I only have 2 points tonight, so this is a pretty simple outline. Number one, we need to work as much or more to listen in the Spirit as we do to speak in the Spirit. Can I tell you something? My kids will tell you, this is a statement they got tired of hearing as they were growing up. God gave you 2 ears, 1 mouth. He wants you to listen twice as much as He wants you to talk. Unfortunately, in our society, most people talk twice as much as they listen. God gave you 2 ears. By the way, if you're saved, God gave you 2 sets of ears. He gave you physical ears and He gave you spiritual ears. Now, that means this. That means every time you listen to a sermon, you should yield to the Holy Spirit to hear what God has for you. Last Wednesday night, I had the senior citizens and we were down in a church in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And it's country church. It's not the most, bless you, not the most exciting place. And there's times it's been rather exciting, but not in spiritual ways. Say, did you get anything out of the sermon? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I wrote down some ideas, and I got something out of it. Matter of fact, I went to the altar that night at the invitation. You say, why? Because I needed what that preacher had for me to get. Say, how'd you get it? I yielded to the Holy Spirit. That means you yield to the Holy Spirit when I announce I'm going to clean your plow. You like it when I, you know, get mad and get loud and get on things and shoot the shotgun and everything else. And you think, man, that's great, that's great, that's great. And I hate to tell you this, there's sermons I've preached that you could have hatched twin dinosaurs out of in the egg that I laid. Okay? Did you know that if you're listening in the Spirit, there was still enough truth in there for you to hear what the Spirit had for you to get? So listening in the Spirit can help you understand the truth you're getting from your own Bible reading. I love the texts and the calls that I get. Preacher, I was reading in my Bible and you remember a couple weeks ago you were preaching on this and I just saw this. Does this go with this? Yes. That's called listening in the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes as I'm preaching, I'll see somebody make a note in their Bible or jot a note down. You say, what is that? It could be your laundry list, it could be your grocery list, or maybe it's something that you were reading earlier that God brought it to your mind that goes with that. That's called listening in the Spirit. Now, listen to this very carefully. Boys and girls, teenagers, look right at preacher right now. Children and teens need to, listening in the Spirit can help you obey your mom and dad better. Listening in the Spirit will help you obey your mom and your dad better. Let me show you what I mean. If you're yielded to the Spirit, you're not going to talk back to your mama. If you're yielded to the Spirit, you're not going to launch out against your daddy. Because that's not how the Holy Spirit reacts. Mom says, I need you to do this. Oh, Mom, how come my brother, how come my sister can't do that? Why do I? Wait a minute. You're not listening in the Spirit. That's listening in the flesh. If you're listening in the Spirit, you'll never lie to your mama or your daddy. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to lie. He's God. If you're lying to your mom or your dad or any other authority, you're listening to the devil and you're not listening in the Spirit. Boy, that's good stuff. Listening in the Spirit can help you at work. Did you know that if you'll listen to this in the Spirit, it'll help you listen to your boss? I know you know more than your boss. But that's why he's the boss. Do what he says. I didn't say you couldn't offer suggestions, but how many employees fail to listen to the boss? The boss has already made the mistakes that one's about to make, and it looks like a better idea at first. I call it reinventing the wheel. Did you ever notice every generation tries to reinvent the wheel? They really do. Anytime there's a change in leadership in an institution, doesn't matter what kind, whether it be a business, whether it be a home, whether it be whatever it is, there's always, everybody tries to reinvent the wheel. They think they can do it, and if they just listen to people that have already done it, they won't take the same circle somebody else took. I was in a meeting with Brother Hiles one day, and he said, "Fellas," and somebody was about to do something, he said, "I'm telling you, it's not going to work. I've done it. I've done exactly what you're doing. And about 80% of it, you're going to think you know more than Brother Hiles, but you don't. Because that last 20% is going to come back and bite you." He said, "I just know I can do it better than you." He said, "Okay, but you're going to come back in X number of weeks and tell me it doesn't work. And you're going to expect me to fix it, but you're going to fix it." He said, "Because I'm telling you now, it won't work." Do you know, in X number of weeks, that assistant pastor came back and said, "What do I do? It's broke." He said, "I told you. And you're going to figure your way out just like I did." He said, "You wouldn't listen the first time. You're not going to listen this time. You want to reinvent it? You figure it out." Now, wait a minute. He wasn't being unkind. He was trying to teach a younger leader, listen to somebody that's already made those mistakes. You start training young managers. They've got great ideas, but sometimes those great ideas don't work. They sound good on paper, but maybe they're not practical. By the way, if you'll learn to listen to the boss, you'll produce more. If you'll learn to listen to the boss, you'll produce more. I worked in a machine shop while I was in Bible college. I was one of those people. I wanted to make the most parts every day I was there. That was my job. So I started making a lot of parts. One day I came in and the boss said, "Did you make all those parts?" I said, "Sure did." I thought I was going to get a raise. He said, "Did you check your parts last night?" "Some." He said, "Not many." He said, "I got to scrap about 80% of them." He said, "I need you checking every 5 to 10 parts." "Yes, sir." Ooh, had to start all over. I had to run a whole shift worth of parts again. That didn't make the boss real happy. There was no raise in that one. But can I tell you something? I learned how to keep the speed going and check the parts while I was doing it. Say why? Because I decided to listen to the boss. He knew more about it than I knew. All right. Hang in there. I'm on metal a little bit. You ready? Marriages will have less contention if we would listen to each other, yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now, I understand men and women don't think alike. Believe me. Men think and women think differently. No, I'm not going to say that, Brother Gus. I'm taking mine home tonight. But men and women just don't see things the same way. If I will yield to the Holy Spirit, I will listen to my wife, I may still have to tell her, "Honey, I don't think that's right." But I'm not going to lash out and say, "You stupid woman, what do you think of? That's not going to ever work." Fellas, don't you ever talk to your wife that way. You're right. She doesn't know what you know, but sometimes she's right and you're not. Sometimes if you'd slow down, the Holy Spirit would say, "Hey, would you listen?" Oh, I hate when I do that. I've said, "Oh, honey, it'll be okay." She was right. I was wrong. And the whole time I'm thinking it, I'm thinking, "You sure this is right?" "Well, you said it was. You better go ahead and do it because you're stinking pride." And guess what? It wasn't right. And then I've eaten so much crow, it's starting to taste like chicken. Good night. My wife will tell you, I do not respond to her harshly. Say why? even when we don't agree or see eye to eye on something, we stop, we yield to the Holy Spirit, we look at what should be, decide what's best, and I take the blame for it no matter what. Say why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Ladies, you're not always going to understand why he's going to be hard at times. But there's sometimes a man needs that hardness. Not as much as he thinks he does. But don't coddle your little boys. Little boys need to toughen up a little bit. Maryland just passed a law that you can use whichever washroom you want to use if you haven't decided what you are yet. That's filthy and vile. I'll be honest with you. I fear for the next generation. If the Lord doesn't come back soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He really is. Charleston, South Carolina, today, the district court shot down the ban on sodomite marriages. State after state after state after state, they're doing the same thing because the Supreme Court wouldn't touch it. Well, I hate to tell you this, but we are living on borrowed time. And we better learn to listen to each other. Do you know you don't have to argue with your spouse? You don't. Do you know the Holy Spirit won't argue with you? Show me one place in that book where the Holy Spirit argued with anybody. Do you know, I would rather give in to my wife and be wrong than to fight about it. I'll take the blame for it. Now, my wife's not the kind of person, it's her way or no way, and most of the time I'm not that way. I can't tell you I'm 100% that way. But most of the time I'm not. Yeah, ask my secretary. There's times we're working on projects here at the church and I'll say, what do you think? And it is totally different from what I've got in mind. And I'll say, what about? Oh, I didn't think of that. Huh, maybe that was a good idea. And there's other times she's saying, preacher, that won't work. Okay, especially if it's color. I don't see in technicolor, amen? I see in technocolor. Oh, my soul. We've got to learn to listen in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that if my idea doesn't work, my wife doesn't come back to me for the next 3 weeks and say, I told you that wasn't going to work. 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 You say, what is that? Is all you're doing is creating contention. That's called pride, not listening in the Spirit. We have to be careful as parents that we don't do that to our children. There's times where you got to look at a child and say, hey, look, do it this way. There's other times you give them a choice to do it and you can look at them and say, dude, I love you, but that's not going to work. I don't think you really want to do it that way. Yes, I do. Okay, you're going to have to do it again. All right, I'll do it again. And they have to do it again and again and again, even in schoolwork, if they'll just listen instead of getting frustrated, saying, well, forget everything you heard, yield to the Holy Spirit, and listen. Take your Bible, turn to John 14. I want to show you students, whether you're elementary school, junior high, high school, college, or you're going through school at work. Let me show you something. John 14, look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, watch this, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at me for a moment. Did you know that, don't get mad at me here, did you know that studying for a test is spiritual? Did you know that if it's truth, God is truth. Now watch this. That means if you study the truth and you've heard the truth and you've listened to the truth, that if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit can help you bring it to remembrance when you need it. Do you know that taking a test can be spiritual? I probably shouldn't say this. Not everybody is made the way I am made, and I understand that. I'm okay, usually. But I was one of those people that didn't have to study a lot. I really didn't. I would sit down in class. When class began, I'd say, Holy Spirit, help me to take good notes. And I paid attention to everything the teacher said, was writing it down, paid close attention. And I would review my notes every day. That's it. Just run through it real quick. And usually what I did was I would go to class the next day, sit in class, read what I had written for notes before the class ever began, got my mind back in line with what was being taught yesterday, because I know the teacher's going to pick up there today. And when he did, I was already thinking in line with the teacher as soon as the teacher started teaching. And I did the same thing day after day, class after class. I would sit down and take a test. I'd run through my notes, sit down, take a test, and say, Holy Spirit, help me to remember what I've studied. One of my college professors, I don't think anybody's here that would have had him. Good. Okay. My wife, maybe. There was about 500 people in this class. We had our first test, bunch of freshmen. He said, everybody gets their test, keep it turned over until I pray. So everybody's waiting. You know, it takes a little while to pass out 500 tests. So he passes them out. He said, let me pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd bless those that studied. Help them to get a good grade. Lord, help those that were lazy and didn't study. Help them to fail. You could hear the moans across the room. And he was getting at it. Said amen, said turn the test over. It was amazing how many people did not do well. You say, what was that? Conviction. You know, I really believe a little bit of what that teacher said was true, though. Bring to memory those things which you have put in. Do you know that if you don't put it into your memory, you don't have anything to pull out? It's like your computer. If you don't enter the data, the computer is not going to pull it out. It has nothing to pull up. Some of you expect to sit in class and play around, and you heard what the teacher said, but you did not listen. You did not learn. Listen to this statement. So when the test comes, you're still playing, worried about it, instead of being able to recall what was listened to. I took a test one day in college. I had one test answer I couldn't get. I walked up to the teacher, said, man. He said, how'd you do? I said, I missed one. He said, just one? I said, just one. I said, what makes me mad is I can take you to my notes, tell you what page it's on. I can tell you the couple words before it and a couple words after, but I can't tell you what word goes in that blank right here. He said, you cannot. I said, my notebook's right there. He said, get it. I got it. I handed it to him, told him which page to go to. He said, you're right, it's on this page. I said, it's on this day. He said, you're right. I said, this is the two words in front of it, and these are the two or three words after it, but I do not know what that word is. He said, I'll give you credit for it. He said, anybody can do that. You know it. Ended up getting 100 on it. Say, why? I knew what it was. By the way, I didn't study a lot. I think the most I ever studied for a final was an hour. Ever. Not a test, a final. Say why? Because I just kept reviewing every day. All right. Oh, my soul. By the way, if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit when you're studying and when you're in class, did you know you'll have a better attitude? Do you know that a good attitude while you're at school? By the way, you can't lie and have a good attitude. You can't be trying to do wrong and have a good attitude. Everybody doing all right? Man. By the way, the same is true for Sunday school. Do you know that you're supposed to listen while you're in Sunday school? Brother Ron and Miss Tammy work hard at Sunday school, and Miss Kay and Casey work hard at Sunday school, and Brother Gus works hard at Sunday school. Myself and Brother Lowther, we work hard at Sunday school. Can I tell you something? We're not there just to take up 45 minutes of time. I got a lot I could do with 45 minutes. I can get a lot of work done in 45 minutes. Shoot, I could take a nap. That's what some of you do. You know, you're supposed to listen in Sunday school. By the way, you say, well, I don't like such and such teacher. They're boring. The only reason they're boring is because you haven't yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've listened to some people. They are boring. But I'm still able to get something out of it. I was still able to get something out of it. All right? Now, point number two. I'm going to excuse you. The Holy Spirit became like a hearing aid. Or the Holy Spirit will become like a hearing aid to those who yield in their listening. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to teach you a little bit about this. Folks, we have let charismatics, Pentecostals, holy rollers, whatever you want to call them, influence us in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at me very carefully here. I'm not being critical. But the Holy Spirit is not this ghost that comes upon you, gives you the shivers, and reveals things that aren't even there. Okay? Oh, I have a vision. The Holy Ghost is telling me. Okay, that guy is a nut job. If you'll feel the back of your television set, you'll feel the power. Yeah, you're going to feel the power, not the power of the Holy Ghost, but you're going to feel something, all right. Folks, we have let the Holy Spirit become this tickle-feely, tingly-feeling thing, and that is not what it's all about. The Holy Spirit is to become like a hearing aid to enhance what you don't naturally hear due to sin and pride. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. But it is written, but as it is written, I have not seen, watch this, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Watch this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. I want you to notice, God talks about eyes and ears. Then he uses in verse, 13 or 14, verse number 12, He said the word receive. You know that word receive literally means to hear and see? It literally means you're going to receive by what enters into your eyes, into your ears. You're receiving truth right now as I speak. I'm talking into a little microphone right here. Brother Brett's got it hooked up to an amplifier. And it takes my voice, puts it through there, pumps it through those speakers so everybody can hear plainly. Otherwise, I would be more hoarse than I normally am. And some of you would not be able to hear as well because the ears have complicated your hearing. Sin has caused our hearing to be impaired. Our spiritual hearing is impaired by sin. By the way, mine is, yours is. Did you know something though? The more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more you can get your spiritual hearing back. Once you lose your physical hearing, you're not going to get it back. But you can get your spiritual hearing back. Now, sin dulls our hearing, and we need the Holy Spirit to amplify what is already there. Let me say it again. There is no new truth in that book. Not one. There is no new truth in it. Somebody said, well, I've got a new truth. It might be new to you, but if it's new truth, what is it? I think in the news this week they came out and some idiot says that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and had two children, and they have some kind of proof now that Jesus was married. He's an idiot. Okay, that's called new truth. It's not truth. It's called a lie. Mary and Joseph only had Jesus, and Jesus' brothers were stepbrothers because Joseph was married before he was married to Mary and had children from another marriage. That's Catholic, just so you know. All right, I'm moving on. Sin dulls our hearing, and we need the Holy Spirit to amplify what is there. Last Wednesday night, Brother Suttles was preaching. As he was preaching, he made a statement. It brought something to my mind. I wrote down on the 3x5 card. I don't know if I have it in my Bible right here, if I already stuck it in a different... I did. I wrote it down right there. And I wrote it down because he made one little statement I had not thought about, wrote it out, stuck it in my Bible, and said, I'm going to work on that. It reminded me of something else that some of us, we will need. It wasn't new truth, but the Holy Spirit let me catch it. You take the other nine people that were on the trip, I could probably tell you what that statement was, and they'd say, I don't remember that. Not because they weren't listening, but it didn't affect them. There's things they heard that I probably didn't hear. Is that making sense to everybody? Okay, now listen to me very carefully. It's not a word of knowledge. Charismatics. Ooh, I got a word of knowledge from the Holy Ghost. Help us. You had bad pizza before you went to bed. You don't have a word of knowledge. They're not new truths. These are things that sin has dulled your hearing to. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you can allow the Holy Spirit to amplify what is really there to help you understand it better. That is exactly what listening in the Spirit is all about. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again, verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Huh. Receiveth not, heareth not, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now look at me. The world, the lost world, thinks Christians are stupid. The lost world thinks Christians are stupid. Do you know how stupid evolution really is? Have you ever listened to about 60 seconds of these evolutionists? It's hilarious. I mean, they think Christians are weird. Well, this monkey and the chimpanzee and the human being are more associated by DNA than the chimpanzee and the gorilla. I don't know what they're doing, but they better find a new profession. Well, this animal adapted this over years. It was only one kind that made it from here to here, and it's the only one that's been able to morph itself into 500 different types, but it's the same animal. Okay, you expect me to believe that, and you call me nuts for believing that book? Hello. don't you think it's possible? No. It takes more faith to believe evolution than it does to believe creation. It really does. So, the Holy Spirit, I'll use another illustration. Many of you have your cell phones with you. Hopefully they're on vibrate. But your cell phone. Do you know that there are cell waves going in this building, not very far, but they're all over the place. And as long as you have your phone tuned into them, you can receive the signal that's tuned in for yours. Watch this. If it's not turned on, you're not going to receive it. The Holy Spirit's the same way. You have Him. He's in your heart. But if you do not yield to Him, if you don't turn it on, don't turn Him on and listen to Him, He's not going to do any good. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God. I sat in the hospital over here this afternoon with a 75-year-old lady with a World War II vet husband that's 90 years old that is virtually a total vegetable and passing away. He's a Catholic dying and going to hell. Could not hear, could not respond. She said, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I looked at her daughter. She said, yeah, I got saved a long time ago. She said, I don't believe like you do anymore, but I got saved a long time ago. And I said, that's fine. I said, have you given Him the gospel? She said, well, they say He can't hear. I said, give it to Him anyway. You never know. You never know. Has no ability to respond. The ability to turn it on. He's pushed it out his whole life. He's never received it. Some of you young people will push out the preaching. You don't want to believe somebody that knows a little more than you, that can help you, that loves you. Folks, you don't understand. I am not the only source of truth. That book is. That book is. My job is not to be the only person that feeds you. It's to get you strong enough to feed yourself. And three or four times a week for me to get up and blow my stack and kick you in the seat, pat you on the head, rub you on the belly, and sometimes comfort you to help you get back in that book and stay in that book and live by that book and listen to what that book has to say. And when you're not, conk you in the head again. I'm sorry, that's what my job is. I wish you knew how much a preacher could love people. I walked out of that hospital today weeping. I did. I walked out of a house. Well, we were in Tennessee. And I got a call. Somebody with major health issues. And I told the person on the other end of the line, as your pastor, I have to tell you right now, I feel like a failure. Because I can't even help you. No matter what I say is not going to change the imminent thing coming. I said, I wished I could just reach out and hug you, but even if I could, it's not going to change anything. And the man said, it's okay, preacher. We know you love us. That's all I needed to know. I said, you got that, man. I said, but I feel like a failure because I can't fix it. Some things aren't fixable. Some things aren't fixable, but all things are listenable if we'll just listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's not casually listen in life. Let's not casually listen. Let's not casually listen to our children. Children, don't casually listen to your mama and your daddy. Church members, let's not casually listen to our friends. Let's not casually listen to our bosses. Let's not casually listen to our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, or whoever is training us, our managers, whatever. Let's not casually listen. Let's listen in the Spirit. Say, but my boss is lost. Yeah, but you're not. You have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit can take what a lost man says and teach you what He's really trying to help you with. Well, my boss is foul mouthed. Did you know that if you listened in the spirit, you can still get something from it? I worked for lost people. Not in the ministry, but when I worked in the world, do you know I learned things from them? Say why? Because I decided I was going to listen to them, do what they said, and I would listen with the Spirit of God so I could do the best I could while I was there. Happiest day of my life, Brother Gus, was the last day I walked out of that shop and never had to punch a time clock again in my life. Man, I hate time clocks. How many of you have ever punched a time clock before? How many of you know that sound that I'm talking? Oh, I hate that sound. That has to be one of the worst sounds in the world. You know, I have worked far more hours without a time clock than I ever did with a time clock. But that sound, I just hated that thing. Say why? I don't know, but I did. I was always early. I didn't have to worry about being late. But I just hated to have to punch that time clock. My boss has to make me do this. I ought to do it because I want to do it, not because I'm forced to. And the Holy Spirit's not going to force his way on you. You will have to, on purpose, decide not just to hear him, but to listen to him. Let's decide to listen and hear what the Spirit has for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Mamas, daddies, husbands, wives, children, students. This ought to hit us all. This ought to hit us all.